Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to the toast, you dirty little sluts. Happy Monday. Hope everybody had an amazing weekend. And speaking of amazing.
Speaking of dirty little sluts.
Oh, duh. Speaking of.
The sluttiest.
Speaking of nasty little sluts. It's my favorite human being on planet Earth. Me. No, I'm kidding. It's Jax. Hey, Jax. How you doing?
Darn good. T-Y-S-M.
Yeah, Y-W.
T-Y-S-M-F-A.
T-Y-S-F-M.
My brain is jumbled.
Thank you so fucking much.
Oh, classic T-Y-S-F-M.
Hope everybody had an amazing weekend.
H-E-H-A-W.
Hope everyone had an H-E-H-A-A-W.
Double A.
Yeah, double A. I-D-T-Y-S-F-M. I did. Thank you so fucking much.
I'm so glad. I had an amazing weekend, too.
No. Literally amazing.
That's so funny. How's Romeo?
Amazing. We really...
I haven't caught up with you all weekend. Like, this is our catch up. You guys are just going to have to be privy to it. How are you doing? How's Romeo? Tell me everything.
He's doing really well. In terms of like training and stuff, you know, we've still got a long way to go. He's so young. I can't, you know, I'm so hard on him. I really am. I really need to relax. Like, he's literally born 3 months ago. Like, give me a break. So he has not had an accident-free day, which I'm gunning for desperately. We'll get there. They're getting fewer. Yeah. Today, not off to a great start. We already had one, so.
That's okay. You know what? In solidarity, Bruno had one too yesterday.
Oh, okay. That does make me feel better.
Completely my fault. But the thing about Bruno is like, if we don't take him out like an appropriate time, like he will just pee on the floor. But like, then when I see it, I'm like, oh, all the signs were there. Like you've been at my leg. Like I thought he just wanted food. There was so much going on in my house yesterday. There was like 5 kids here and Bruno's schedule fell by the wayside. It did.
I know.
I'm sorry, Bruno.
It's frustrating when like this morning we took him out, he peed and pooped. He comes back and 20 minutes later, he pooped in the kitchen. Like,
you have to think his bladder's so tiny.
I know. And I'm still really learning his schedule. And now that I take a look back at the schedule, that was my fault. I know he takes 2 poops in the morning. What was I doing? Like, it's just over the weekend, we were like, our whole lives revolved around Ro. I got to work. I have a job. I have a family. Like, Ro fell by the wayside.
On a Monday morning.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're getting there. We are definitely getting there. I definitely feel like Ro and I truly connected on an emotional level this weekend. Like, he loves me. He, by the way, he totally likes me more than he likes Ben so far. And
oh my God, it was time for that.
Theo,
like Theo, love him to bits. I will never speak ill.
Never.
But he was a daddy's boy.
He loved Ben so, like, and he didn't even try to hide it. He loved Ben so much more than he loved me. And with this dog, I was actually having this conversation with Ben. It feels really good to be really doing equal parts responsibility. Like with Theo, I definitely was just like, bye. Like Ben did everything. I might even be doing a little bit more, you know? And I'm really the one who can soothe Romeo. Ben's like, oh, he won't sit down. I'm like, give him to me. Fast asleep.
Needs a mother's love.
Yeah, so we're really connecting. We really are. And it was a great weekend for me, for Ro, for Ben, for everyone.
I love that.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was great. Lots of fun. Went out a little bit Friday night. Had dinner with some friends. I did some night driving because Olivia and I went and I drove because happy to not drink and be designated driver. This was always like meant to be my role to be designated driver because I'm usually sober, but I didn't drive. So I finally can fulfill
your life destiny. Yeah.
But night driving is like a little crazy. You can't see shit.
Do you need glasses? Like,
no, like I can see in front of me, but like I can't really see in my rear view. Like when they're behind me, it's just a bunch of lights, you know?
No, like it's actually, I feel like super easy to see in your rear view mirror at night because like the car's lights would be up your ass.
Yeah, but it's like I can't see I don't know the distance of the lights. Maybe that's just I need time
experience.
Or maybe the lights were just really far back. That's why it felt like I couldn't see and there wasn't anyone around me.
I don't know. It sounds like you, a night driver, is just as capable as a drunk driver. Like,
stop. No. Plus, Olivia was with me. So it was a great opportunity to do some driving. We went to the farm this weekend, picked some strawberries.
Oh, my God. 2 major things happened this weekend, Jackie.
Did you pick strawberries as well?
Oh, my God. Did you see that?
There's balloons on our FaceTime.
Because I did the peace signs. Oh.
I think they think you turned 2.
Oh. What if I just turned 3?
Who does 3 like that? That's, you know what that reminds me of, that 3 that you did.
What?
Is that Inglourious Basterds where they like are able to see that the spy is a spy because he did three, like he's from a different territory?
I gotta rewatch that movie. Speaking of Christoph Waltz, he was at the Oscars last night. He's so creepy. Yes. We're gonna do a full Oscars recap, but what I wanted to say was two major things that happened this weekend. First, we sprung forward.
Okay. Yes, we did.
And I hear that people with children, specifically children on schedules, like a child like Charlie, have been really thrown through a loop.
Not so much. Yesterday, I just kept thinking, okay, so it's really this time. And yesterday, we just kind of had to get through. But now today, I feel like we all woke up on the same page. Okay, good. Actually, there was even a little sleeping in my house today.
Romeo slept in.
But it's like we're technically, you would think the sleeping in happens on the other time when we go backwards. We get an extra hour. But weirdly, the sleeping in happened this morning and I'm not complaining.
So we sprung forward, which is like on the day, so annoying, like to lose an hour, excuse me. But now moving forward, the sun will set at like 7. Hallelujah.
Yeah. And I know there's a lot of debate and controversy around daylight savings. Should it stay? Should it go? It causes heart attacks, et cetera. I have a proposal in the middle.
Here, let's hear it.
I think daylight savings should not be on a Sunday because I want to lose an hour of the week. A weekday, not of the weekend.
I love that sort of thinking. Like real, like that's the kind of thinking this country needs, like true creativity.
And compromise.
Yes.
So that's my proposal.
So that was the big thing that happened this weekend. And then the other big thing that happened this weekend was that Ben and I watched Oppenheimer.
Wow.
Jackie, it was c'est magnifique. So amazing.
Well, you watched it just in time because it won all the awards.
I know. And I didn't even really put it together that I finally watched it right before the Oscars. But then when I realized the Oscars were on and I had seen the movie of the year, I felt so invested in the ceremony.
And then you saw the ceremony and you felt.
No. And then I saw all those moronic people wearing the red pins. And I said, oh, TYSFM, this is not for me.
The we've been having such a good awards season where every time I watch the awards, I'm like pleasantly surprised.
And enjoying
Maybe that's why the Oscars were always set to fail, because now I had a little bit of expectation and I turned it on and it was so sickening.
Yeah.
Really made me sick. So I turned it off and watched Summer House, which was not sickening because this weekend I also caught up on Vanderpump Rules.
Oh.
Which had me gripped. Yeah, I was gripped. Like, I wasn't on my phone. I was really feeling a lot of the emotions that the cast members were feeling. Like, I was really into it, and I'm looking forward to the next episode.
Oh, my goodness. A rave review from Jackie O'Freebush.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. There was a lot of emotions swirling around, especially from Sheena.
Yes, and that's what I've heard.
And I'm feeling for her. I'm feeling for her.
Oh, nobody else is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I keep up with, like, so funny. I watch Vanderpump Rules, but not week to week, every week. So right. When I miss an episode, I'm, like, always just seeing stuff on Twitter. And everybody's just, like, I think the running joke is Sheena, actually, you know, Sheena Shea has very Turdy Lou, like, tendencies. Like, how can she make everything about her? And I think that was the general sentiment. It was, like, she's so emotional, and it's just really not about her.
Okay, she shared one interesting fact that...
You could share them.
Allowed me it. To... That allowed me to maybe see her side, because she keeps saying, like, she lost a best right. friend in Tom Sandoval. And that's just, like, so hard to relate to. Like, how can Tom Sandoval be your best friend? Like, so how can his loss really be that felt? But she shared, and this was just, like, a throwaway comment that she shared, which was that when COVID happened and they weren't working and her podcast was canceled and she was pregnant, she had no money coming in. She was really, really stressed out. And she woke up one day to a PayPal of thousands of dollars from Tom Sandoval. Oh, wow. Like, that is a friend who was there for you.
By the way, 100%.
And he never mentioned it. Like, and now I think about paying for James's proposal. And that just was so extra because he kept talking about it and it was so unnecessary. But, like, to silently help out a struggling friend like that,
yep,
that's a real friend.
I agree.
And it makes it harder to turn your back on them when then you hear, of course they did wrong, but you hear they're having suicidal thoughts and it's like, you were at your lowest ones too and they were there for you. It makes it hard.
By the way, I completely agree.
So I was starting to see where she was coming from and I didn't feel like Sheena was making it about her. I feel like for the last 5-6 months, it's been all about Ariana and now she's processing her own feelings and no one other than Lala is giving her the space to do that.
Got it. Okay. I am going to catch up. So maybe we'll do our TV recap this week.
Can't wait.
And we've just got a great show. Tell me about the stories.
So the stories are unfortunately kind of Oscars heavy because there was other news to come out of the Oscars.
I will say I was really like made nauseous by so much of the Oscars, and the Oscars in particular, I think, are so of all the award shows, like they take themselves the most seriously. It's like all these artists, like they're usually the most out of touch, the most insufferable, honestly, because they're really like the highest level, like the most elite, and really just obnoxious. And everybody gets on the podium to preach about something, and it's like, please shut the fuck up. Like, you're talking to real people. You don't know real struggle. Like, it's really, I think, the hardest to swallow sometimes. Having said that, I did think there were some interesting moments that came out of it. Like, I think a lot of people were so fabulously dressed. Everybody looked great. I thought I really, really enjoyed I Am Ken. Anywhere else, I'd be a 10.
I enjoyed I Am Kim too, and I love that song.
Yeah, no, so there were positive moments.
There were. It's just hard because the way I felt today is like, I don't want to talk about the Oscars aside from saying what we will have to say about explaining to people why it was so atrocious, like for the Jewish people, which we will get to that, which is also a daunting task, but it's our job to do it.
Yep.
So it's like, I don't want to talk about other stuff about the Oscars when it was just so rotten.
I know, I don't want to praise it.
However, like there really wasn't much else that happened this weekend. And so for the good of our show.
Right, why should we suffer?
Have to talk about, why should we have no show? Why should we have no show? Because they're stunk.
Right, right. No, bring everyone down to your level.
Right. So that's where I'm at today.
So show, stories, I got a manicure. It was really like an amazing weekend. I can't lie. I don't know why. It had like a combination of everything. Even though I low-key like was sick on Saturday, I got a little sniffle.
Probably was an amazing weekend because you haven't been home in months.
Yes. Oh, and I went to a workout class, which you know is not something I really don't like to work out in front of people. Like it's degrading. Like it really is. But I wanted to support, you know, my trainer and friend Hillary, who you introduced me to. I do her virtual classes, and she had a pop-up for the last 3 months in New York, and it's down in Tribeca, which is so far. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go. I haven't been there. And so I went, I brought Ben and I brought Abe, who are two like, you know, men who work out. And I know they just like walked in and were like, oh, Turdy's little workout class. Let's see these like little arm movements. These people were dead. Oh my God, Ben this morning, he's like my hip flexors. He can't move. They were lying on the floor. And you know, I'm not really in good shape, but because this is a class I've done, and it was much harder than the ones I choose to do in privacy of my own home on my phone, I like kind of killed it, you know, compared to like these two. And they were just like, I don't know. I think they were in awe of Turdy Lou. I think they were. And they were just like, oh, Turdy's little class was a little hard, you know?
I feel like that's not to minimize, but I feel like I've seen that a bit where like men, big strong men do like women's workouts and they can't hang.
And by the way, the class was completely full. They were the only two men. It's like, it really is a class like that women are drawn to, even though it's challenging for everyone.
Yeah, no, but just like, or bar, Pilates, like all of these women's workouts are much harder than I think men give them credit for. And then they realize like, oh, we can't do these things.
Yeah, Ben's like benching 240. He's like so proud of it. Ben would seriously have to go to the hospital if he ever did bar.
Yeah.
Not for Ben.
No.
So it was just like a well-rounded weekend. You know, I got some cardio in.
A well-rounded weekend. I would say so as well.
I love that.
And guess what? Something I'm excited about today.
Let me think.
You're not going to know.
Come again.
Because I didn't share yet. I got a new pair of sneakers.
Oh, wow.
Those. Isn't that cool?
I thought you were going to say, like, I'm pregnant.
No, I got a new pair of sneakers.
Sick.
The brand is Amiri.
Sick.
And they're just, like, so cool. Zach said I looked so trendy today. He had like heard of Amiri because he's like in the sneaker world, and then when he saw the box arrive, he's like, you got Amiris? I'm like, I love
like putting people like on their backs, like putting their backs up against the wall with something like they're really into. It's like, yeah, I'm familiar too.
Yeah, I got Amiris. Yeah, they're sickening.
Yeah, I have a phone, I can read.
That's how we felt about also those New Balance sneakers that I got through you, and then he got a pair too, and it's like he literally has 100 pair of sneakers. I have now two.
Right.
And he had to get the one.
No, you can't have anything as a mom, as a wife. Like, you can't have anything for yourself.
Yeah, but now we have, like, the family version. And it is cute, but it was, like, supposed to be my special thing.
I'm really shocked that you haven't commented on, like, my slutty look today.
Well, it looks as though you're wearing a skirt. I can't really see, but you do look very professional. So what do you have going on today?
Yeah, no, I don't look professional. I look slutty. I'm wearing some sheer tights.
If you insist.
Leather shorts and knee-high boots. It's giving slut.
And to what do we owe this sluttiness?
I just have like kind of a speaking gig after this, and I couldn't show up in my usual crap.
For the sluts?
Yeah, I'm the slut convention. No,
she's speaking at a brothel.
Stop. I'll tell you where I'm speaking after. It's like kind of like professional. Like,
I wouldn't expect anything less from you.
Yeah. So I'm just looking like a professional.
A young professional.
Who sluts on the weekends.
And a Monday.
Monday's a weekend for every slut. Sluts are us.
Classic us.
I kind of love the word slut. Like, I know what Amber Rose was talking about when she went to, like, take the power back. Like, yes, I'm a slut.
Yeah, I'm already talking about that Taylor song.
I married my slut. First boyfriend, and I've had sex with one person. I'm a big slut.
You are.
What do I think about the Taylor Swift song Slut? It's actually one of my least favorites.
And if they call me a slut,
I might as well be with the ones. And if I'm all dressed up, that's literally me. Yeah, they might be looking at us. Everyone's going to be looking at me today, being like, oh man, who's that whore?
By the way, Turdy is covered from the tip of her neck to the tip of her toes. Fuck. Not an ounce of skin showing.
Well, if you count my sheer tights, you could see a little bit of skin.
A little bit.
I'm wearing leather. It's giving slut.
Okay, if you insist.
It's giving slut.
Turdy, we will think of you as a slut if that's Jackie, really what you want.
Call me a slut.
Okay.
Do it.
Slut.
No, say, you, Claudia, are a dirty slut.
No, Claudia, I don't talk like that.
Okay, she's a mother. What would your son say if they started calling people sluts, you know?
Yeah, no.
Not cool.
I think now it's time, without further ado, to get into the Fast Five stories that you need to know. And I have something to say before Turdy has something to say, which is that today's episode is brought to you by Teeny Lux. I was speaking recently on the pod about not wearing earrings because I hate how aware I am that they are on. The founder of Teeny Lux is also a toaster, so she reached out saying, can I send you some earrings? I promise these will be the most comfortable earrings you've ever tried. You won't even notice them. For the first time ever, I honestly forgot I was wearing earrings. I don't even feel them. Their founder started this brand because she also had super sensitive ears and nothing was working for her. They make all of their earrings with pure titanium. They use titanium because it's non-allergenic metal that's safe for the body and super lightweight. So if you've had problems wearing earrings like me, you need to try Teeny Lux. They have the cutest style for everyday wear. And also, if you have kids getting their ears parsed as well, you want to make sure that they get safe earrings too. So it's great for everyone.
It is. Also, I have ears like you could run over with a truck and they wouldn't feel anything. I'm not sensitive at all. So one might think like there's nothing for me at Teeny Lux. The earrings are just also cute. Like that counts. Cute. That counts for nice earrings.
Oh, yeah. So you can visit teenylux.com and use code TOAST at checkout for 20% off your first purchase. That's TINILUX.com. Use code TOAST for 20% off your first order.
Also, a great part of Teeny Lux is that you can shower in the earrings. Like, what is more annoying and inconvenient than having to, like, get completely naked and then also take off your earrings to get in the shower? They will not tarnish or change color. So Teeny Lux can really be a go-to earring destination for the squirrelies in your life.
Yes.
Today's episode is also brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. This year, the healthiest habit to start is one for your dog. So much better doing Farmer's Dog ad reads now that I'm a dog mom again. The Farmer's Dog makes feeding real healthy dog food easy and convenient, and your dog will absolutely love it. It's smart, healthy pet food that you can feel good about feeding your pup, and that's why it's time to quit the kibble, kick the cans, and start fresh. Something I'm really looking forward to is weaning Ro off of his food that was given to him like by the breeder. You can't just like switch automatically, especially with such a young belly. But Tro will be a Farmer's Dog dog, and if you don't know what the Farmer's Dog is, they're making and delivering fresh, healthy dog food right to your door. It is developed by vets, it's nutritionally balanced, and it's made from real meat and veggies to the safety standards of human food. It's the best options for dogs at all life stages because it is not kibble, it is not canned goo, it is just real healthy food. Traditional dry and wet dog food options are super processed, they can use much lower quality ingredients than they claim to, and they are extremely difficult to portion accurately. That's what's great about the Farmer's Dog. They are sending the food pre-portioned, and that portion is specific for your dog. It's going to be based on their unique nutritional needs. So it makes it easy to help your dog maintain their ideal weight, which is one of the biggest indicators of a full, healthy life. Dogs at a healthy weight can live up to 2.5 years longer than overweight dogs. A fresh diet has been found to have all sorts of benefits, like a super healthy coat, better breath, better digestion, smaller, better poops. So a healthy diet is not just important for humans. So get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/toast. Plus, you're going to get free shipping, but only when you go to thefarmersdog.com/toast to get 50% off. That's thefarmersdog.com/toast. Today's episode is also brought to you by Athena Club. Goodbye, cheap razor era. So Athena Club and the razor kit from Athena Club is an absolute steal at just $10. Don't let the price fool you. This razor packs a serious punch. It comes with a beautifully made ergonomic handle and two super sharp razor heads that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every time. I literally have to hide my Athena Club razor in my bathtub so Ben doesn't use it. And just personal, I'm going to get a little, you know, personal. You guys know I've been like on a hair regrowth journey. So I was taking minoxidil to get my hair to regrow because it started shedding. That minoxidil made my leg hair and my armpit hair grow at such a disgusting pace. I was literally shaving my legs twice a day. Like by the time I had a 5 o'clock shadow, like it was really insane. And I needed a razor that could, you know, handle what my legs were handling. And let me tell you, Athena Club was there for me during dark times, and I will never forget them, because having to keep up with legs like that is a full-time job, and you need the proper equipment, and you don't want to spend an insane amount of money. The Athena Club razor kit works amazing, and it is reasonably priced, and it comes with that magnetic hook, which I love. It is a game changer. Easy storage. Pop it on your wall, stays in the shower. It will not fall. Nothing worse than waking up in the middle of the night. You're like, oh my God, there's a robber. No, it was just your crappy handle with your razor falling on the floor, scaring you. Not with Athena Club. No, never. So the blade on razors that aren't Athena Club can get really dull. They can get rusty, which is really bad for your skin. But it's going to keep your legs smooth. It's going to keep your legs moisturized. Athena Club is everything. So if you are ready to upgrade your shaving experience, switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin that you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and their body products and use code TOAST to get 20% off your purchase. You can also find Athena Club at Target. That's code TOAST at athenaclub.com.
Thank you, Claudia.
An absolute honor and a pleasure.
So first story is going to be like Oscars winners recap. Before we get into the Oscars, we need to talk about Artists for Ceasefire Pins and then Jonathan Glazer's speech.
So I'm going to name them. Billie Eilish, Phineas, Rami Youssef, my actual nemesis, like the person on this earth who I hate the most, Mark fucking Ruffalo. And then, like, you know,
Mahershala Ali,
Ava DuVernay, wearing the red pin. So what is the red pin, you ask? It's layered, actually. But the red pin was, you know, if you're an artist for Ceasefire, Annie Lennox, artist for Ceasefire, you wore the red pin. And you would say, Turdy, like, what's wrong with an artist who wants a ceasefire? Don't we all want the ceasing of fire? And I would say, of course we do. But I'm Turdy Lou and I live in reality. And in reality, ceasefire is literally not an option. Hamas, this isn't a secret. They've said like 1,000 times, like, girlie, we don't want a ceasefire. We want to kill Jews. Ceasefires don't let us do that. Actually, as recently as 2 weeks ago, there was a ceasefire proposal that was rejected again by Hamas. Happens all the time. They don't respect ceasefires. If they ever do agree to a ceasefire, which they actually did. There was a ceasefire on, October 7th. But then they broke it and came and killed thousands of Jews and raped Israeli women and took them hostage. Now you're gonna say, wait, I was on a good tear. What was I saying?
That ceasefire is not an option. They do not want a ceasefire. For the week and a half where there was a ceasefire because there was a hostage in exchange for violent terrorists, they still broke that ceasefire every single day. So if you want a ceasefire, you need to go talk to Hamas. You are doing Hamas's bidding by putting the pressure on Israel for a ceasefire. Two people are asking for a ceasefire. Either people who genuinely want dead Jews and are masquerading that evil anti-Semitism as artists for ceasefire. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that all of those artists for ceasefire want that. The other people who want a ceasefire are dumb, stupid people who think saying ceasefire makes them feel good. I want peace. Who doesn't want peace? Stop the killing.
No, I feel like saying ceasefire is such it's representative of the fact that you know nothing. Because if you knew even the smallest amount of this conflict, you would know, like, of course, who wants to go to war? Nobody. But like, this is real life and this is how it's unfolding. And it's literally not an option.
And a ceasefire is not an option. And if Israel ceases firing, there will be no more Israel. So you are inadvertently calling for like the extermination of the Jewish people, and especially the Jews in Israel. So, and here's the thing, like, you're allowed to be dumb and you're allowed to not know.
Yes.
Don't say anything.
Don't wear
a pin. Don't go on the biggest stage with your dumb fucking message. You look like a moron.
You do. And if you look at the history of the red pin, if you look up close to the red pin, why it's red, it's a red hand. And you would say, oh, that's beautiful artwork. Well, you wouldn't if you knew actually what the red hand comes from. There's like this famous, famous photo during the second Intifada of a Palestinian person waving their hands in the air. There's blood all over their hands, and it was like captured by the media. It became this huge photo. And if the history, the context behind that photo is that person had, so there were two Israelis who wandered into Ramallah and then were detained by Palestinian police. Two civilians from Ramallah went in and killed that Israeli person with literally their bare hands and showed their red hands, and people were cheering like, look, we killed a Jew. And the media captured that photo, and that red hand on that dumb fucking pin, Phineas, my nemesis, is that man's red hand who just was literally celebrating killing a Jew.
Yeah.
It's, and literally, what's the word?
So either you do know that, and
it's virtue signaling for killing Jews.
Right. And either you know that, so you're like an evil bastard, or you don't know that and you're a dumb bitch and you should, don't wade into conversations that you know nothing about. For me, like Mark Ruffalo, that's classic Mark Ruffalo.
I wanna talk about Mark Ruffalo really quickly.
But no,
two seconds.
Okay.
Because it needs to be said. Mark Ruffalo gets away with the fact that people think he's Jewish because he's a curly-headed fuck. I just need everyone to know, Mark Ruffalo is not Jewish.
Even though he was in that Holocaust movie, The Light We Cannot See, take it, throw it down the toilet. Whoever made that movie, whoever's Mark book that is that Ruffalo. Allowed Mark Ruffalo to star in your Holocaust movie, why don't you flush that shit down the toilet?
Mark Ruffalo is not Jewish. I feel like everybody thinks he is. I thought he was. Mark, and so he gets away with being a dick and an anti-Semitic fuck because people think he can speak freely because he's a Jew.
But the thing is, we have enough self-hating capo Jews in our midst, Jonathan Glazer, that Mark Jonathan Ruffalo can Glazer. Take several seats. No, I just, before we get to Jonathan Glazer.
Yeah, continue.
And the ripping apart of his asshole. Mm-hmm. Billie Eilish.
So I was having
what
this
conversation. What a dumb bitch.
I was having this conversation because I feel like she's one of the people who really knows nothing. I don't think she put that pin on with any sort of malintent. I think she's an idiot, like an actual, I mean, she, like, not to be so rude, she didn't go to college, like she hasn't lived in the real world.
If she went to college, she'd certainly be wearing the kit so pin, true. But she's not an educated person. She's an incredibly talented musician. She's an artist. She's got a lot of feelings. She has something to say, but this is not an educated person who knows a modicum about history, but who maybe rolled out of bed one morning and said, I want peace.
Right.
And they said, artists for ceasefire.
Right. So she's the type of person where it's so irresponsible, and it's honestly like I don't think she's ill-intended, but the way she was so irresponsible, like
at this point it's ill intention, it's ill intention to be like so derelict vocal about something that you do not know about, and if you actually knew about it and you're still choosing to be this vocal about this position, then you
are evil. Yeah,
so no matter how you flip the coin, like, you're no good.
Yep.
Jonathan Glazer.
Oh, and by the way, whilst wearing a Chanel suit, a Jewish-owned company, vomiting.
And the Jews in the industry who dress these people and support these people and prop them up and make them money and give them these platforms, even, you know, she's singing for Greta Gerwig's movie.
So is Greta Jewish?
Yeah.
She is?
Yeah.
I feel like she's not.
And she's married to Noah, Jew.
I think Noah's Jewish. Greta Gerwig, Jewish? Huh. No, she's not.
She's not?
No.
Why but she is she said, always in this conversation then?
But she said that the Barbie movie was inspired by Shabbat. That's what, it's an article, I swear.
Wait, did it say
Greta
she's not
Gerwig
Jewish?
Wants Barbie to feel like Shabbat. Greta isn't Jewish, but growing up, her close friends and family were observant Jews.
Why is Greta Gerwig always in this conversation then?
Because for many, I know why, but I...
No, not because of the BDS letter that she signed and then apologized for.
So Noah Baumbach, is he Jewish?
Baumbach?
Baumbach. He's totally Jewish.
Totally Jewish. Well, as just the wife of a Jew,
yeah,
you have his responsibility too. But I did think she was Jewish.
Baumbach, whose father is Jewish. Technically not.
Half. So he ran? He ran away?
He ran away from that side.
Okay.
So Jonathan Glazer, who is an irrelevant ugly I hadn't, you know, I lived a very glorious life not ever hearing of until last night. He was the director of a film called The
Zone of Interest.
Which is a Holocaust movie, actually, that focuses.
It's a Holocaust movie. It's about, like, the family that lived right outside of Auschwitz because the husband, like, was a Nazi officer.
Right, and leave it to this self-hating Jew to make a movie about the Holocaust surrounding around a non-Jewish family. I can't.
And then he gave his acceptance speech and said, all of our choices to make the movie were made to reflect and confront us in the present, not to say, look what they did then, rather what we do now. Our film shows where dehumanization leads at its worst. It shaped all of our past and present. Nobody really knew what the fuck he was talking about until he said... Until he said, quote, and he had written this down, so he didn't mince words. He said, right now we stand here as men who refute their Jewishness and the Holocaust being hijacked by an occupation which has led to conflict for so many innocent people. Whether the victims of October 7th in Israel or the ongoing attack on Gaza, all the victims of this dehumanization, how do we resist?
No, refute your Jewishness. If I see Jonathan Glazer in the fucking streets, he better run because it's on. I'm throwing hands.
First of all, bye. Like, please leave. You know, yeah.
we don't want you.
We don't want you if this is how you use your position. You literally made a movie about the Holocaust. And it's so easy to, 90 years on, say this was right, this was wrong about the Holocaust. But I think what people don't understand is, like, in that moment, I feel like even when we read books, like our stupid historical fiction, yes, it feels like everybody's like, tisk, tisk the Nazis, and there's only like one bad Nazi. No, like everybody... Most people, I'm sorry, because there were a few righteous, but that's why we have literally statues and museums erected for the handful of righteous people.
Yeah.
Because most people were not, and most people went along with it, and it was so much easier. That was like the flavor of the day, just like how right now, it's so easy to say these things, and it's like ceasefire, mm-hmm. you know, stop the killing, but it's the wrong side. And so you're in this moment, and you just made this project, and you still can't see.
Yeah.
No, I can't help you. And you're a Jew. And you can't see the importance of the state of Israel, that Israel's defending themselves, that it's not just, but October 7th. October 7th
is the reason
for everything.
Yeah. And, you know, to have given that speech when Mia Shlem, who was a hostage, when Mia Shlem, who was a hostage in Gaza, she was one of the women who was released during a hostage exchange, and she's been just kind of traveling around doing press, speaking about her experience, hopefully, you know, to change people's hearts and minds. She was at the Oscars last night. Imagine sitting there listening to that speech after you sat in a fucking tunnel with disgusting terrorists holding you hostage for months. Imagine.
Talk about dehumanization. Let's talk about it.
Talk about dehumanization. Jonathan Glazer, and I want to say, this is a threat. If I ever see you, bitch, it's fucking on.
And he just like gives so many Jew haters so much ammo. Like,
there look was a word, Jonathan Glazer said.
There was a word for Jews like this in the Holocaust, because there were them, Jews mm-hmm. who like aided and abetted Nazis who sold out fellow Jews. They are called capos. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Glazer is a capo, mm-hmm. and he can fuck right off.
Vomiting from you. Your ancestors are rolling in their graves. We don't claim you, please.
We don't claim you. Refute your Jewishness. All day long, get the fuck out of here.
Refute your Jewishness. I refute your existence, you cocksucking asswipe.
Let's talk about Mia Shlem, because she's the kind of influencer we need in our society. So Mia Shlem,
I just followed her last night. She's so gorgeous.
Oh, you hadn't been following? She's so gorgeous.
No, I hadn't.
She's so brave. She told her whole story to Israeli media. And if you can watch the whole interview, it's like an hour, literally about exactly what happened to her, where she was. She was being held hostage by a family in their home, being starved by them.
Civilian family,
innocent civilian family holding a young girl hostage, starving her while her arm is falling off because she was shot during the Nova Music Festival.
Don't worry, Jackie. They brought in the local veterinarian to stitch up her arm.
She's
still in a cast.
She's still in a cast, and she went to Elton John's Oscars party last night.
Oh, and by the way,
she went to the State of the Union. She was a guest of House Speaker Mike Johnson, and she is doing advocacy work because a lot of the hostages that she was with in the tunnels are still there.
So she was also, if you guys remember, when they released a hostage video, she was the one of the videos where she was like, look, my arm is fixed. They're taking really good care of me. And fucking morons in America were like, they're taking good care of the hostages. Have you heard what she had to say? First of all, she was literally being held at gunpoint during that video. Everything she said was a lie. Like, people who believe Hamas propaganda, Palestinian propaganda, I worry for you. I don't know how you cross the street without getting hit by a car. Because you're obviously dumb.
No, but it's also a choice. Like, you can't just be that dumb.
Yeah,
it's a choice to be so dumb. And like, you really want, you feel more inclined to believe what a terrorist organization is saying and their facts and figures than they're putting out than a democratic country.
With a government, with literally like a public health ministry, with literally infrastructure.
That is also being held to the highest possible standard that no other country is held to.
Yep.
But no, you know what? Hamas said this. I'm feeling it.
Yeah, they released a video. I believe it.
Yeah.
you're all dumb and ugly, and that could truly never be me. So if anything, the Oscars made me actually feel good about the fact that I'm a person of deep intellect, I am gorgeous, and I am a Jew, and you're so jealous of me. It's disgusting.
The good news is that I think most people who are listening to our show like get that by
now. No, the thing is, by now, but like, I don't even leave a comment. You're not going to change my mind. You're just going to make yourself look stupid, so go away.
But I couldn't talk about the Oscars without explaining these things, and two, I think there are still people, and I think I see comments sometimes, it's like, but what's wrong with ceasefire?
Of course, of course.
Ceasefire is so nice.
It's a fair question if you don't know enough. It's so fair.
It's a fair first question, but now that you know, ceasefire is not an option. If you want a ceasefire, go talk to Hamas. Like,
here's the thing.
Go talk to Sinwar.
I wrote, because when I posted something yesterday about ceasefire, artists for ceasefire, eye roll, somebody asked in a very nice and respectful way, like, obviously, what's wrong with a ceasefire? It's not like, we're not people who love war.
It sounds nice. If you just have opened your eyes to the conflict, a ceasefire sounds, and you're done calling for ceasefires in the Ukraine and elsewhere where there's been conflict for years, and you've been doing all your ceasefire advocacy there, and now it's time to ask for a ceasefire in Israel after, what, 5 months of fighting?
Right.
There is an appropriate answer on Claudia's Instagram. Yeah. Did you want to read it?
I did want to read it because I worked really hard on it and I think it was
it's well going to expire out. Too. So
don't worry, I saved it. So the question was, what's with the frustration around ceasefire? Is it because it's a pointless statement? It just seems like something we would all want. I'm hoping to learn / gain some perspective.
Yeah.
Thank you for asking a question in a respectful way. I said, we all want peace. In an ideal world, there's an immediate ceasefire, but that will never happen. That will never be the reality because Hamas has vowed publicly to never stop the violence until they wipe Israel off the map. Most people don't realize there actually was a ceasefire in place on October 7th, but then Hamas terrorists invaded Israel, murdered, raped, and brutalized thousands. Ceasefires mean something to civilized people, but they mean nothing to barbaric terrorists. Ceasefires actually give terrorist organizations like Hamas an opportunity to rearm themselves and strategize on how to attack again. Anytime Hamas has actually agreed to a ceasefire, it's never been as a gesture of good faith. It's been they ran out of ammo. They need to re-strategize. They need a new thing. They need to run away. They've been found. They use it strategically, not ever for, you know, ceasefire purposes.
Not for peaceful purposes.
So the artists and celebrities advocating for a ceasefire, which Hamas has stated will never happen, have never spoken out about the October 7th massacre in Israel, nor have they advocated for the release of the hostages who are still being held in Gaza. And if a ceasefire were to ever hypothetically occur, what then happens to the hostages? The ceasefire movement completely disregards their circumstances, which are abhorrent.
Right. So October 7th happened. Hundreds of Israelis were kidnapped to Gaza. The Israeli military went into Gaza to get them back. We are there to get them back. If there is a ceasefire, what happens to the hostages, over 100 hostages that are still there? Like, no, it's very simple.
There's literally like an enormous, enormous terrorist group, like miles from the city center. Like, think about it, America. What would you want them to do? And by the way, and then that terrorist group literally launched an insane, insane terrorist attack in your country. The equivalent, like I think of people were saying, it's like bordering like Texas and Mexico. Like, yeah, that's how it is. Yeah. And so there's this American-hating terrorist organization in Mexico. They come in, and the equivalent population-wise was, I think, they come in and they kill 25,000 people in Texas. What do? We ceasefire?
And there's
still 1,000 people back in Mexico being kidnapped, being held hostage, starved, raped.
So we have to send the military in to try and get those kidnapped people out and to bring to justice the people who committed the terrorist attack. And then there are people calling for ceasefire.
What if it was your mom who was in there? Ceasefire? But what about your mom? Right. So the Oscars were on last night.
The really large room of fucking morons.
I didn't see what, and you know what? I'm sorry. I don't want to like call out people who are like Jewish and who have been historically like good, but like, where was one person wearing a yellow pin with just the yellow ribbon, which means bring the hostages home? Steven Spielberg. Like, what are you doing?
What is Steven Spielberg doing ever?
No, but he's like he's the most powerful person in that room. Like,
for sure.
He can't be, I understand on a small level, people who are new to the industry, who are afraid to make waves and like, you know, go against the grain. Everybody's wearing a red pin. To show up in a yellow one is an extremely brave thing to do. Why the fuck would Steven Spielberg care?
Yeah.
And just he's like a pro-Israel Jew.
Wearing the red pin, like really, if you are trying to be a good faith actor, like, and you feel compelled to wear the red pin and call for a ceasefire, like also wear a yellow ribbon. Like that would have been understandable. I want a ceasefire and I want the release of the hostages. I mean, because that's really what we all want.
Same. Yeah. Wear both. But no, don't wear the red one. Like literally the imagery.
No, yeah, it's like,
it's a virtue signaling for the murdering of Jews.
Feel free to wear a ceasefire pin, not the red one, because it's like red, bloody, dead Jew hands.
Yeah.
A different one, maybe like the graphics designer could get on Canva, make something else, and the yellow ribbon to release the hostages. Unless you don't want the hostages released because you're a vicious Jew hater. In that case, just make your feelings plain.
But just not one person wearing the yellow pin. Like if pins were being worn, you know, like not one.
No, and the Jews run Hollywood.
Oh, please. Oh, please. The Jews run Hollywood? Watch the 2024 Oscars. You'll never think that again.
Yeah. No, but they think they're being, like, brave and resistant. They think they're being brave is what's so crazy.
Who? Like the people wearing the ceasefire pins?
Yes. Yeah. That's bravery in Hollywood.
I'm really having a hard time right now thinking about who I hate more. Mark Ruffalo or Jonathan Glazer. I really want to say Mark Ruffalo. Like,
You hate him because he has, like, an ugly face.
Well, he also just like, to me, he stands for, and by the way, he has like the craziest history. And I didn't even really like look into it until most recently, like, cause he's been wearing the pins and being insane. He has like a very, very long history of having to like apologize and clarify for being anti-Semitic. Like, it's actually crazy. Mark Ruffalo is a full blown anti-Semite, like walking amongst us, and he gets cast in Holocaust movies.
No, it's so crazy. So yeah, I think we give like someone like Billie Eilish for now, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt.
I give her a little bit of grace.
So dumb. Dumb.
But Mark Ruffalo is old enough to know better.
Mark Ruffalo just likes dead Jews.
Mm-hmm. 1000%. I fucking hate Mark Ruffalo. Like,
that's why he likes being in Holocaust movies. He gets off. He's like, yes.
Oh man, not Mark Ruffalo masturbating in his trailer. I'm deceased. Is this episode going to get us canceled? I don't give a fuck.
Claudia, I don't give a rip.
I don't give a rip.
So Oppenheimer won Best Picture at the Shitfest Oscars 2024.
But wait, can I talk about Oppenheimer for a second?
Yes.
I loved it so much. It was so brilliantly done. I knew very little about the, you know, creation of the atomic bomb. I didn't really know who Oppenheimer was. But in the very first scene in the movie, I'm getting that it's about really smart, you know, physicists in the beginning at all these elite universities. And so Oppenheimer's obviously this really well-respected guy, and he goes to talk to another one of, you know, the scientists. It's this older gentleman with white hair. I'm like, wait, is that Albert Einstein? I'm like, you're telling me Albert Einstein was alive during World War II and not 400 years ago? Albert Einstein drove in a car? Like, I was shocked. I was shocked beyond belief. Now I need to watch. Honestly, Oppenheimer made me really want to watch a documentary or like a biopic on Albert Einstein. Jackie, I was floored. That's like when you find out Picasso died in the 80s. Like, come again?
Yeah. Yeah.
Me and Ben were like, no.
Is it Picasso that died in the 80s or the other P?
Van Gogh? Oh.
Van Gogh. No,
it's Picasso, because Picasso invented like modern art. He's like the grandfather of modern art. And so modern is like modern.
Picasso, 1881.
Mm-mm. Oh.
I think it's Van Gogh.
No,
I don't think it's Van Gogh either, actually.
No, Van Gogh cut his ear off. Wait,
1853. Who's the one?
Yeah.
No, we haven't hit the modern artist. I don't freaking know.
No, it's bothering me too. It's a thing. Famous.
It's a thing. It's like a meme when you realize that this person, it's something with a P.
Yeah.
I want to find it. Hold on. It's going to feel good when we get it.
I know you're probably screaming. Okay, hold on. I'm going to find it.
Pablo Picasso. Oh, I'm sorry. Born in 1881.
Bitch, that's
what
I said.
Died in 1973. Okay, sorry. Okay, so that's like a really long period of time. And also, while we're there, Van Gogh died in 1890. Okay, that's not modern.
Okay, thank you. That's what I was saying. So I was shook to see Albert Einstein in the film. I also didn't really know that so many of the great scientists during that time were Jews. And that's why so many of them were, you know, happy to drop everything and move to this remote part of New Mexico where they built the atomic bomb, because it was meant to be dropped on the Nazis. Now, by the time they figured it out, and we were the first to figure it out, the Nazis were already defeated, and then they decided to use it on Japan, which, you know, there was talk in the movie about whether that was the right decision, because they were all, you know, ready to drop it on some Nazis.
Yeah.
So I didn't know like the Jewish influence of the science and physics community at that time. Almost every single one of them was Jewish. And that's why Christopher Nolan literally hired every Jewish actor to play. Like, there was a million random scientists, including Josh Peck. Now, me and Ben were screaming, like literally screaming, because it's really not a spoiler alert, but they work forever on this atomic bomb and they have to test it in this desert. And so everybody's gearing up, they're miles away, it's going to explode, is it going to work? It's 3 years of work. And the person to actually press the button for the first time ever is Josh Peck.
Wow.
It was really crazy.
So you liked it?
I loved it. No notes, except... Now, this is a kind of a crazy thing to say, and you guys are going to be like, Claudia, of course you would say this. You hate women. It was perfectly cast, like truly perfectly cast. Except, like, I actually think Emily Blunt really did not do a good job. I was floored she got nominated for an Oscar.
Who did she play?
His wife. And she had a very, very big role. I thought she actually did a really bad job. Like, I was giving community theater. Every time she was on screen, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm watching a movie. I was, like, reminded.
Oh, damn. Is that just because you're so familiar with her and the other people you don't really know and, like, you're just aware of her?
No, because I knew a lot of the people. Florence Pugh, who was amazing. She had a very small role and she was naked pretty much the entire time, but she looked great. She was great. I'm not super familiar with Cillian Murphy. That's true. Josh Hartnett. Of course, no Robert De Niro.
I guess Josh Peck also would make you realize you're watching a movie.
Yeah, yeah, because I'm like, that's my friend.
Yeah, that's your friend. That's good guys.
Just get you a good guy who could do both.
Totally.
Well, that's Jackie, really was amazing. Cool. You would love it. And honestly, the 3 hours flew by.
Okay, I'll watch it. And it won Best Picture, so that feels right, is what you're saying?
Oh, definitely feels right. Christopher Nolan won as well. I had no idea, because every time somebody from Oppenheimer won, they would get up and thank Christopher Nolan and Emma Thomas, who's his producing partner. And when he won Best Director, he got up and thanked his producing partner, who produces all of his films and all of his children. I didn't realize that was his wife. Oh, it was so cute. Now I'm like low-key obsessed with Christopher Nolan. Like, catch me literally not knowing who he was a week ago and like not caring at all. Like, now when we think back about that Peloton story and Jen Sherman, like, I'm obsessed. Like, that's so cool. Like, he's such a legend, and he was basically, he said something so profound. He was like, when you think about like the art of filmmaking, it's literally in its first 100 years. We've only been making film for 100 years. And so the fact that you guys think I'm like a important person in the early stages of filmmaking is so profoundly humbling. Because, you know, think about the first 100 years of painting. Like, think about it as any art form. Like, he was just so smart. I'm like, yes, Christopher, keep talking. Like, I'm obsessed. And he's hot too. Love.
Yeah, he's nice looking.
Dilf. Director.
So he won Best Director. Also, then Best Actor went to Cillian Murphy.
Of course. He was, Jackie, incredible.
Then Best Actress went to Emma Stone in Poor Things.
Oh, you know, she, like, low-key, did she make anybody else cry? Like, she was really making me, like, emotional.
I didn't watch.
I don't know if she's, like, really always wanted an Oscar or something about this film was so personal. She, like, could not breathe. She ripped her dress as she was getting up there. She, like, seriously was, like, on the verge of a panic attack, like short of breath. It was so genuine. So many people get up there and it's just like, please, like, shut the fuck up. She was so genuine. And, me and Ben were both like, I was tearing up. She was so, I just love her.
Cute.
Yeah. Then, and she looked great.
Best actor in a supporting role, Robert Downey Jr. Oppenheimer.
Well deserved. I loved his speech. Also, there was like a weird moment. I thought Jimmy Kimmel did like...
I was going to ask you, what do you think about Jimmy Kimmel?
He didn't bother me. He was like, never on. Thank you. That's what a host is supposed to do.
But
like,
his beginning monologue.
It was fine. Except there was this weird moment where he like kind of referenced Robert Downey Jr. So Robert Downey Jr. famously is sober, but he had like a really very dark time where he was like addicted to drugs. And... the joke Jimmy Kimmel made was, you know, this is the highest moment in Robert Downey Jr.'s career. Well, not the highest, because he, like, used to be high on drugs. And I don't know the relationship between these two. I don't know really how Robert Downey Jr.'s, like, refers to his sobriety. But it definitely felt weird. Like, it definitely did not feel appropriate. Also, given the other jokes he made compared to other people, he never pushed the button.
No, he didn't.
It was very boring, safe jokes. Like, dad jokes.
Robert Downey Jr., like, did not look like he was enjoying it. Like, he kept like roll tape. I felt like he was trying to say, like, move on. This.
Yes.
And two, I actually watched a monologue on YouTube because I, you know, didn't know it was starting at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So I watched a monologue on YouTube this morning, and the commercial was in the middle of that joke. So, like, the break.
So, oh my God.
So as Jimmy Kimmel said, this is the highest Robert Downey Jr. has ever been. And then maybe there was cuts a little more, but it cuts to commercial. And then by the time we come back, I feel like I've missed the joke. So I didn't even know what he said.
Oh, that's intentional.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Best actress in a supporting role, Davine Joy Randolph, The Holdovers.
Hilarious speech. So sweet. I didn't see the movie.
Best, I'm going to get to shit we care about. Best original song, oh, What Was I Made For? Billy Dumbass Eilish from Barbie.
But that song's good.
Yeah, it is.
By the way, I'm holding space for Two Truths.
Yeah, no.
The song is good.
It is very good, and it was emblematic of the movie, and yeah, perfect.
It was good.
And then best, what else was there like, that I missed? That's it. That's really it,
But then the performances. I have to say, I'm kind of in love with Becky G. That song was not good. It shouldn't have won. But like, I'm glad she got to perform. She is so gorgeous and so little. You know, she's like this, you know, I feel like I relate to her in that level. She's like 4'11". I just wanted to say I love her. And I feel like she was really nervous and she did a great job. The performance on everybody's lips was I'm Just Ken. Like, the way I didn't really realize Ryan Gosling could truly sing like that. He did an amazing job. He's not a singer, but obviously he grew up in the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Yeah, but that's not his trade. It's not his profession. He's an actor.
No, but he did La La Land. He sang in I Am Chem. Like, it's not his, like, it's something on his resume.
It's on his resume. He's not a live performer is what I'm saying.
Okay, yes.
And I thought he did such a great job. I did think he was a little nervous. I thought everything was so 10 out of 10 amazing. Like, the choreography, I was cracking up. And then when he goes into the audience and gave the mic to America, Barbie, everyone, the crew, and then he had a little moment with Emma Stone, and then he gets back on stage, Mark Ronson, Simu Liu. Who was the guy playing guitar? I feel like he was like a famous guitarist. Was it Gene Simmons?
I don't know, but he was giving that.
I kept trying to Google who it was. I could not figure it out. Maybe it was nobody.
Yeah. I didn't see a name, but I thought the same thing. He was playing guitar like he was somebody.
It was giving Gene Simmons.
Yeah.
But Jackie, it was Slash.
Slash.
Okay, I don't know who that is, but we were right. I just loved it. Like, and I don't even love that song so much, I'm not going to lie. I thought it was brilliant. Brilliant. I thought that performance deserved an Oscar.
What was funny is, like, this whole time it's like, is Ryan Gosling going to sing? And he's been saying, like, I don't know if I'll sing it, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, this was a very big production. Like, they've actually been working very hard on it. It's not like he woke up and decided, okay, I guess I'll sing the song.
Totally.
They put everything they had into it. And I think it was meant to be comparable to that scene from Gentlemen Prefer Blondes with Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn Monroe. They put their whole Barbussy in that, and I loved it. I ate up every second. And you know I'm like a Barbie low-key hater. Loved it.
Yeah, I love that song. I think it's really cute.
No, and I loved like all the men dancing. Loved Simu Liu. Simu Liu getting cast in Barbie is the best thing that ever happened to him.
Yeah.
Right after being cast in Selling Sunset. Because he didn't have to
be in that performance because most of the other Kens weren't from the movie. They were just backup dancers.
I bet he asked.
Like, I'm not going to miss this.
No. I love how much he loved being in that movie. Like, first I knew him from Selling Sunset. Now I know him from Barbie.
Yeah. And then I think his most important work would be number three. He's a superhero, no?
No, his most important work, it depends who you ask, would be his role as Molly Shannon's boyfriend in the other two.
No, but he is...
Yeah, no, he's like in Marvel.
Marvel, yeah. Yeah, he has
or
a big...
Or DC, don't ask me.
Anyways, that is Oscars part one. Our next story is a bit of Oscars adjacent news.
Okay.
Because Vanessa Hudgens flaunted her baby bump in a sheer gown at the 2024 Oscars, announcing her pregnancy, and also then did a change and another glowing pregnancy look at the 2024 Vanity Fair Oscar party.
Okay. I want to talk about the Vanity Fair Oscar party second, so remind me of that.
That's our like next story is like news from Vanity Fair.
Okay. So I watched actually for the first time, I think ever, ABC. Like I always watch E, but I'm sorry, it's insufferable. Like, you know what they do, E? First of all, it was only Laverne doing interviews. What's the story you're wearing with this outfit? Like, really, it's unwatchable. But they get you in because then they have like Justin and Kelty and Heather. And we're like, oh, they shove them in a corner. Like they weren't interviewing anybody. So I'm like, you know what? What if I just didn't watch E? I'm like a 29-year-old woman. I have free agency. So I watched ABC. Now, for the last 30 minutes of the red carpet, ABC had the exclusive. And that was Vanessa Ann and Julianne Hough. But until that, they had this random guy who was clearly an entertainment journalist by trade. I couldn't tell you his name because it doesn't fucking matter. He asked the most brilliant questions. I could tell everybody talking to him obviously knows him, like he's a red carpet guy. They were so into his questions. They were thought-provoking. They were different. And I just want to say, I don't know his name. I don't want to know his name, but he gets 5 stars from me.
Great.
Then Vanessa, I thought it was so sweet how everybody talking to her was like so happy and giddy for her. Before they answered their first question, they were like, oh my God, congratulations. It was so cute. She's doing a very good job.
Yeah, I mean, she showed up like nobody knew she was pregnant. She's, nope. I don't know how far along she is, but she's decently far. She looks amazing. She's glowing. She looks so happy. And I feel like we didn't even know that's what we needed.
Yep.
But it's what we needed.
It's giving honeymoon baby.
Yeah.
Because she just got married.
Yeah.
Honestly, like getting up there in a dress and heels, talking to other people for X amount of time pregnant has to be like harder than any Olympic sport, I have to imagine.
Yeah.
They should have given her a chair, like dead ass. Just saying.
The heels makes it tough.
I bet actually she probably took her heels off after the carpet to like do her job because you can't see the feet and there's no reason.
And Julianne Hough is also a shorty, so it's not right. So bad.
And they were on separate stages.
Oh, they weren't together? Not a Grease reunion?
No.
Oh, I thought they were hosting together like friends.
No, they weren't like physically together.
I thought it was like, you know, a duo, a hosting duo.
No, they
duo.
Were interviewing people separately.
Oh, I like my version better.
Well, it was great. I thought it was actually very well done. I'm like a big hater on red carpet coverage. I thought ABC like actually killed it. And I wouldn't have guessed Julianne Hough. Like,
she was fine. She's got hosting chops.
Vanessa Ann has obviously been studying.
Great.
I just love when people clearly saw the movies, you know?
Yeah. That's like
the baseline
knowledge.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, our next story, Vanity Fair's Oscar party took place after the Oscars, and there's some
news. It was star-studded.
Everyone was looking good. Some news that emerged that Kim Kardashian and Odell Beckham Jr., I think like for the first time since months of rumors about them being together, they were spotted leaving the party together. So
they were also spotted in Vegas at the Super Bowl.
But everyone was at the Super Bowl. Like, I don't know. Just seeing these pictures now, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, maybe they're hooking up. I didn't really believe it before.
Oh, I did. I just don't care.
Yeah. I don't like care immensely, but that's a cute couple.
I think Kim looked literally so gorgeous. Maybe the best she's ever looked. Maybe, no, the best she's looked in years because she's been like kind of like flopping with her Balenciaga looks.
Yeah.
Who was she wearing?
She
was wearing Balenciaga. Cool. Oh,
stop. I'm cracking up.
I'm sorry. Two things can be true. I'm holding space for two truths. She looked amazing. I'm sorry. She really did. And it's about time.
She did. Yep.
All the Jenner Kardashian girls look so sick. Kylie. Best dressed.
Yeah. Timothy, where was he? People are saying they've broken up.
Really?
Yeah, I had seen that a few weeks ago.
I guess it has been a minute. The last we saw them was the Emmys.
I feel like if they broke up, though, she wouldn't have gone last night because that's kind of like Timmy's territory. I think they're
together. It's actually not. Vanity Fair Oscar party is actually Kardashian territory. Like, they literally invented that party.
I disagree.
Okay, they didn't invent the party, but it's so their territory.
You know, they could feel comfortable in that room, but if you, like, just got freshly... That's a fresh ex-boyfriend. Like, it's more his room that year than it's hers.
Yes.
That's it. That's all I'm saying.
I happen to love the Vanity Fair Oscars party because everybody, I've never seen one person look bad. It's like, for some reason, everybody has agreed. We're not going to take crazy risks and look stupid. We are all going to look glamorous and sick.
We're going to slay the house down boots.
Sabrina Carpenter was there with her rumored boyfriend, who's not really rumored anymore because he was in Singapore for her last Eras Tour show.
They took a picture. Barry Keoghan. He's like Keoghan. The man of the moment.
Saltburn.
He's wearing a friendship bracelet that says Sabrina. So these two are very much together.
No, I'm obsessed. I love Sabrina Carpenter having like moments. I'm such a big fan of hers.
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan was there, who's really been on this Renaissance tour. Like, she's back.
Yeah, she took a picture with Kim. Throwback.
Really cute. Everybody showed up and looked gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice night.
I enjoyed it.
That half of the night.
Nice after party.
So that's Oscars recap 2024.
And the Oscars 2024 recap is brought to you by Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. So you guys know I'm a very, very big fan of these weight loss shots. A lot of people don't know where to start when it comes to these weight loss shots, and companies like Row, I think, are doing an amazing job. Their Body Program members have support throughout the entire process. Rose partners handle all of the insurance paperwork to help you get your medication covered. If you're eligible for medication, the patients have access to their provider on demand for any questions. You can sign up online from the comfort of your own home, and that means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and of course, no waiting rooms. These drugs, I feel like, are very mysterious. A lot of people don't know where to start, how to get it covered, where to get it from, how to get a prescription. And Row is just kind of your one-stop shop for everything. Obviously, I've had a really great experience with weight loss shots. I think they're fabulous. So if that's something you've been wanting to do, Row and the Row Body Program are a great place to start. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria do apply. So go to row.co/toast. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/toast, row.co/toast. Today's episode is also brought to you by Factor. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. I feel like Factor is one of those companies, like, people are obsessed with Factor. Brian is obsessed with it. I see it all over social media. If you've been looking for, and you're not much of a chef, I think that's really important, like meal prep, it's really fabulous. Their meals are two-minute meals. You can fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat wherever you are. Pancakes, smoothies, and more. You can discover a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday bites, and more. It's flexible for your schedule, so get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries at any time. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast premium options with no cooking required. Sign up and save. So we've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Staying healthy is just so hard. Like, why give yourself more work by having to make meals? Just, you know, heat and eat. Head to factormeals.com/toast50 and use code toast50 to get 50% off. That's code toast50, T-O-A-S-T-5-0, at factormeals.com/toast50 to get 50% off. Today's episode is also brought to you by Maidenform. M is a collection from Maidenform, a brand with 100 years of innovation and category leadership. They wrote the book on bras, and M is the next juicy chapter. You'll have to feel it to believe it. It's yummy, buttery, soft fabrics that feel way more expensive than they are. It's great style that won't break the bank. I'm a big fan of Maidenform as a brand in general, and their line M, I feel like, is truly made for me, especially their bras. I'm very specific about bras. The Maidenform bra that I have been obsessed with is black. It has like a netting inside that really keeps your boob in place. And then the material on top is so soft, so buttery, so stretchy. And it has this extra long band because I have this like kind of like belly roll under my boobs. It's a kind of, I don't know, I kind of have like four boobs. Maidenform is for real women. I'm sorry. Like, it's for boobs that are real. Their straps are adjustable, which I love. It comes in a bunch of different colors. I've been wearing the black a lot. It's really soft. It's really comfortable. It's really affordable. And what's great is that if you're just wearing your intimates for you, you're feeling comfy, you're feeling good in your own skin. But if you want to wear them as outerwear, or if there's somebody who's going to be seeing you in your, you know, in your willies, you can feel good about it. They're sexy, they're gorgeous, they're fashion forward. So they can be worn as innerwear or outerwear. It's styled to your taste, so you can create looks that serve for all or none to see. Visit maidenform.com and use code TOAST20 at checkout for 20% off your first purchase. That's maidenform.com. Use code TOAST20 for 20% off your first order.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next story has the internet in even more of a tizzy than they already were. Kate Middleton is apologizing for a botched family photo.
This is weird.
She posted a photo of her and her children for UK Mother's Day. Very seemingly cute photo of her and her three children. But of course, eagle-eyed viewers found a Photoshop fail on Princess Charlotte's arm/wrist.
No, they found like 30. And it wasn't a Photoshop fail. It was.
What's more than the wrist?
Oh, there's a, look at her neck.
Okay.
By her jacket, there's like a line, like a pixelated line.
Okay.
Wait, I'm, if you go to Twitter, people have probably found about 30 things wrong with the photo. Also Charlotte's teeth. Also Charlotte's hair length. If you look at her hair in December, there's no way her hair could have grown that much.
What's wrong with Charlotte's teeth without being...
No, not, like, it's just incongruous with what her teeth have looked like in, like, paparazzi photos recently.
And what's wrong with Kate's neck?
There is a line where her jacket meets her neck and her hair. Do you see? Pixelated.
I do.
Yeah. So it's not that people thought this was a Photoshop fail. People thought this was AI generated.
Oh my God.
And then, wait, so people were being, you know, you can't talk about, Kate Middleton can't do anything right now without people freaking out about it. Because what started as a joke is now like a full-blown conspiracy theory where in the world is Catherine Middleton. And so people were very quick to point out all of these things and really be like, it kind of feels like this photo was used, you know, like generated by AI. Then after all this hoopla on the internet, people like going crazy, the Associated Press recalled the photo. So the way that it works, like the Associated Press like gets a photo and then distributes it to like every newspaper. And so when they have a headline, that's why so many newspapers have like the same exact headlines. Because it came from the wire, just, like, on AP.
It's the wire, yeah.
Companies like Associated Press, Reuters are like these sort of overseers, and then they distribute feeders, to like every,
yeah.
Yeah. So they kind of recalled the photo. And they said, we have reason to believe the photo has been manipulated. And we're just like, we're not putting out fake news, essentially. So that then spurred, like, holy shit, we were fucking around. But, like, it's true.
Got it. So then Kate put, Kate put out the statement saying, quote, like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing. I wanted to express my apologies for any confusion in the family photograph we shared. And I wanted to apologize for any confusion the family photograph we shared yesterday caused. I hope everyone celebrating had a very happy Mother's Day.
And so now.
Okay, but I just want to say the photo recall thing, I kind of interpreted it differently as like they realized this photo came like from Kate. They realized that it wasn't good. And so they stopped people from sharing it anymore because it's like now Kate decided she doesn't want it to continue being shared.
No, that's not how it works. Like, you can't just decide you want a photo not shared on the internet and AP is going to approve. No.
Just saying. They have relationships.
By the way, so read AP's statement.
Right. No, but I'm just saying that's the lens that I read it through where it was like, oh, fuck, like, we take it back.
No.
Citral Z.
So when people started theorizing, I was like, oh, classic, whatever. I'm sure they Photoshopped the photo to be as beautiful as they wanted it to be. And I don't, Photoshop fails don't bother me. Like, whatever. Then the AP thing, and I was like, oh, damn, there's definitely something more. Maybe the people who are, like, joking about AI, like, we're onto something. And now Kate's losery-ass statement, oh, silly little mom, I'm an amateur photographer. No. Something's going on.
I don't think it's AI generated.
If you weren't a conspiracy theorist before.
I don't think it's AI generated because this literally happens every time they put out a family photo that, like, there's
AP has never recalled the photo.
Okay. I don't care about the AP. Like, they're dishonest journalists. I don't get my truth from them. I'm looking at the photo. I don't think it's AI because the AI has a look to it that this photo does not have. I think...
Look at the kid on the left's fingers.
Oh, he's crossing his fingers. Oh, that I thought was funny because I feel like she made him promise something that he then crossed. You know how kids do that? Like,
you're so sweet, Jackie.
I'll smile.
First of all, look at her fingers.
I'm seeing her fingers on Charlotte.
Sorry. Charlotte's fingers.
Okay.
Her wrist is like detached from her hand.
Yeah, that to me is like Facetune fail.
I just feel you. Wait, hold on. I'm going to pull up all the discrepancies people have
pointed out. My bigger question, so this is what I'm saying. I don't think it's AI, but I do think the photo was like edited so that everyone looked absolutely their best. They took like a million photos and then they used the version of everyone that's best and they put it together. Why can't you just take one decent photo? Like maybe someone isn't giving their best smile, but like people take family photos all the time. Yes, it's hard to get three children to smile at the same time, but like two out of the three are grown children who are obedient. It's just the one with the crossfit Lewis who likes to cause trouble.
Yes, he likes to cause trouble, but there is like weirdness all around this photo. Like there's a lot going on. Her hair couldn't possibly have grown that long. Kate's hands look fake. Oh, her right hand, the one on Lewis, is blurry as fuck.
Okay.
You saw the neckline, the wrist, the kid's hand. There's more that people have pointed out. There's something wrong with this photo. And like, I do think it goes beyond, not to be like such a conspiracy theorist, because at first I was like, haha. But no, there's something going on.
But if there's something going on, and what's the theory? That she wasn't well enough to take a photo for Mother's Day?
Where's her wedding ring?
Well, I don't think she would intentionally put out a photo without a wedding ring. Like, I think it means nothing. Like, where's my wedding ring?
Okay, but like, you're not taking an official family photo for your, you know, for history books. I just think
if they had all these things they wanted to hide, they could have easily used an old picture.
People would have figured that out too.
No, and yeah, it's an old picture that I like of my family. Why does it have to be today?
Oh, yeah, yeah, like when they were all babies.
Yeah, like something that represents motherhood.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on, but honestly, I believe it. I believe what
Okay, what are people, what is the running theory?
They don't know. They don't know. There is no, like, there's no conclusive. The theory is that she got a BBL.
No, seriously, like, what do they think happened? They're divorcing?
I don't know. I think she's gone missing.
You think she's gone missing? So why not just post an old ass photo?
I don't know. I need her, like, that Range Rover photo, it was giving, you know, Madame Tussauds.
Also, AI, if they're going to mess with hands, like, they're giving you six fingers.
Yes.
They're not doing this. Pinky promise. I crossed on it.
You're such a mom. Like, he's crossing his fingers.
Because he said something untrue.
He probably
said, okay, I'll smile.
Sound off in the comments. What do you think is going on with Kate Middleton?
Yeah. I'm waiting till Easter. After Easter, all bets are off.
I'll judge.
But she has my good faith, my benefit of the doubt till Easter.
Fair.
So I'll see you guys in April and we'll have a conversation. And they usually do like a big Easter service. So will she be spotted at the church?
The world may never know.
No, we'll know on Easter.
Yeah. That's, it's like a big deal for them.
Right. So just practice patience is all I'll say.
I'm having fun in the meantime.
Okay. I'm happy for you. Our fifth and final story is a little Ari news because it was a very Ari heavy weekend.
I listened to the album this morning.
She performed on SNL this weekend, two songs, and then did some sketches, but she performed We Can't Be Friends and Imperfect for You. And as I stated on Friday, We Can't Be Friends is such a bop.
Agreed.
Such an amazing song. I can't stop listening to it. However, I need to say that the way I interpret the song when I first heard it, I thought it was about her and SpongeBob. It's like, yeah, we can't be friends because, like, I love you too much sort of thing.
Of course, because I want to fuck.
And the lyric that's like, take all your papers and pens, wait until you like me again, I thought was about, like, the media and the public. Like, no, the song is about Dalton. We can't be friends because, like, I fucking hate you. I'll wait until you like me again because you fucking hate me. And then she put out the music video for the song, which, you know, she does not mince words. This is about her marriage that ended.
I love that song as well. I listened to the whole album this morning. So funny. I watched an interview. I think maybe it was Zane Lowe, where she said her two, like, greatest musical influences have and always will be Mariah Carey for her, like, songwriting, and Imogen Heap for her production. And Ari's, like, very into producing her own music, yada, yada. And ever since she said that, like, I hear so much Imogen Heap. Like, the album is so Imogen.
Yeah, that's true. On We Can't Be Friends, though, I think it sounds like a Robin dancing on my own a little bit. Every time the chorus is about to come in, I feel like it's about to start singing, I'm in the corner. Just listen that's to funny. It like that next time. Maybe someone could do a mashup for me.
I love a mashup. Internet DJs, get on it.
If I had musical production skills, that would be something I'd be really passionate about, because I'm really good at, like, hearing two songs and realizing which songs are similar. And if I could make mashups, like, I would crush it. DJ Earworm would be
favorite thing to do.
DJ Earworm would be out of a job.
I actually think DJ Earworm is out of a job.
That's not funny. Like, I hope that he works forever because secrets.
Unemployment is no joke.
No, it's not. And I love DJ Earworm. I think he's the best DJ of our time.
Wow, that's a strong statement.
Yeah, I do. I don't think anyone can do it like DJ Earworm.
Damn.
Yeah, I said it.
Yes. And
say that shit with your chest. I'm surprised she didn't perform that on SNL, but I kind of love that. Like, I'm over that song, on to the next.
Yeah, no, I thought the sets were really beautiful.
She looked beautiful for Imperfect for You.
And she was at the Oscars, so she's been, you know, bi-coastal all weekend. I have to say, probably one of my least favorite hairstyles debuted on any red carpet ever.
Even though I've been liking this era of hair for her.
Me too. I love the blonde. It's super cute. It was literally like
it was swirly, you know, curly, like you need to brush out your curls.
Yeah, like, you know, Anna Paquin from True Blood, yeah, when she was like six, she was the youngest person to ever win an Oscar.
Yeah.
I think she wore her hair like that.
Shirley Temple.
Shirley Temple with the curly Q and
Shirley,
like, the
Squirrely Temple.
It was horrible. It was horrible.
Yeah. But
it was giving out a pack.
Okay, so that's like one note from the weekend. And of course, you know, I'm sure the climate change activists will be looking into her flight log from how she got to New York to LA so quickly.
She walked. Don't worry, she walked. She's fine. She
took her bicycle.
Yeah.
Other than that, good weekend for Ari. I feel like the cycle is like we're moving through it and people are enjoying the music, which is benefiting her personally and her reputationally.
She's slowly shedding like the homewrecker vibe.
Yeah. And she must like really fucking love SpongeBob is all I'll say.
By the way, they have not, like, do we have confirmation that they're still together? The last they were actually spotted was at that Broadway show like kind of a while ago.
No, I think they're still together. It wasn't that long ago.
By the way, same, but we don't know that.
No, they better be together is all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
It's just so crazy because like she was on SNL. I forget, she was in the room with someone. And then she's at the Oscars. She's in the room with all these people and she could date any of them.
I know. I was thinking the same thing.
But SpongeBob's the man for her.
Okay.
Those were the Fast Five stories.
You didn't really need to know them.
You think?
Yeah. That wasn't a slight towards you in the work
No, that wasn't a slight towards you that you think. I guess technically you don't need to know them as far as like survival.
Do you need to know anything, you know?
You need to know what's going on in Israel if you're going to speak on it. That you need to know.
You also need to know that if you get the notovirus and you're about to throw up, don't get off the toilet. That's something that you need to know.
Yeah.
So that's our show. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Toast the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the Fast Five stories you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, Castbox, all the places you listen to podcasts. Find us at Toast the Fast Story. You've got a beautiful sounding and good lit talented we are. Hope you guys have an amazing day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Love ya. Bye.